The entrance of the Word of God brings light. And when the Word enters with revelation, it brings light. It brings clarity. It brings perspective. It brings truth. And when something comes into our hearts, when a word comes into our heart with a revelation, it carries within it the grace for us to perform it. That's the difference between facts and all these things and truth. And revelation, revelation brings with it the grace for us to actually perform it. He does it. And I believe he's going to bring light in this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to echo that it is not by might. It is not by power, but it's by your Spirit. It's not about my persuasion or my eloquent words, Lord. It's about your Spirit. So we just ask that you would do what only you can do this evening. We surrender ourselves. We humble ourselves to receive from you. We love you. We love you and we thank you for the word that you are well pleased with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I don't know if a lot of us have sensed that the tides have shifted. The tides have shifted. The things that we have dreamt of and longed for are now happening. I remember when I was much younger, and people used to speak to me about revival, and I had no idea what it was. People used to speak about this word, and in all honesty, I really couldn't care less, because I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't even think it has anything to do with me. And I would just go on with my life, and that's how I lived life until around 2017 or 2016. And again, God would bring this thing up, and I'm like, God, what is this? And it was only that time or that season in my life where I started to wrestle with this thing called revival. And even then, I was like, it's too big for me. It's such an intense concept, and it's coming from left to right, and, you know, everyone seems to have a say, you know, and I'm just a simple gospel girl, like, don't give me big concepts. But then I married my husband. Student of revival. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful. And we even went on this journey together of just wrestling. And just he would teach me, like, just dinner times, talking to me about revival and what it means. And I was like, God, you're so good, because I never would have gotten this on my own. But I love how he simply puts it. He usually speaks, and Liffy, you're always welcome to correct me, but this is how he's helped me to understand it. When we look at the church in the book of Acts, and we talk about how the disciples were turning the world upside down, that, you know, people, the disciples were casting out demons left, right, and center. People were being healed. Even Peter's shadow was healing people. There was so much vibrancy in the life of Christians. in the life of the first church. And he usually says, if we don't really see much of that happening, then we need revival. And then I thought to myself, we need revival. And it's that simple for me. But oftentimes, when we hear this word, too many of us have started to believe the lie that, you know what? This revival thing is not for me. I'm actually not a part of this chapter of the story. This part of the story is only for the radicals. I'm just going to be here. And a lot of that is actually because what has tended to happen is that we have gotten this conception, both in the church and outside of church, that the hand of God is only on preachers and pastors and prophets, etc., etc. That if you are spiritual, it means that you must become a pastor. If you are spiritual and you're growing in your faith, surely now you must be a prophet. And God is speaking to me just about the shame and this feeling of, but I don't belong in this part of the story because I'm not A, B, C, or D. And God has been speaking to me about, Siko, the revival or any move of God, the purpose of that is not to create more pastors and more preachers alone. Yes, we want those. It's to create hungry and on fire men and women of God across all spheres. And the challenge that we've experienced as a church, and also when it comes to revival, and I didn't run this past my revival student husband, but God has been talking to me about is that, Siko, we tend to devalue certain things when a revival comes. And that's what stops it. We tend to overemphasize something else in the body, and then we de-emphasize something else, but that causes a disunity in the body of Christ. Therefore, the revival can't go on further than what God has purposed because, no, the revival is here. Now we are the it. God is canceling pride in the church. There's no room for it this time around. And that's why people who are able to sense what the Spirit of God is doing and pick up the burdens of the Lord, we need to warn against that. To say, guys, the hand of God is on Africa for this time and this season. And we don't want to stop what he's doing through things like disunity in the body of Christ. We want to steward what he's doing. So this imbalance has crippled people's lives, individuals' lives and destinies, because, no, I'm not this, I'm that. It's crippled people's destinies because even if God has called me to be a doctor, I'll become a pastor. Even if God has called me to be a pastor, I'll become whatever else I think is glamorous to me so that I can be a part of this story. And I feel God is saying and echoing what Retief said earlier. God is pleased with you. He knows how he's made you. He knows how he's formed you. He knows the graces and the gifts that he's placed on your life, and he's pleased with that. So my assignment is simple this evening. I simply heard the Lord say that today you have a place in the story that he is writing in this season and in this time. The Lord's been speaking to me about encountering and knowing the whole Christ. I've been reading the Gospels afresh, and I'm seeing the life of Christ afresh. I'm seeing his rhythms afresh, and I'm perplexed and mind-boggled about just how he is and how he does things. I'm like, I even said to my husband, I'm like, Leafy, like, do we even realize, like, Jesus was a walking, talking, fivefold ministry. He was literally apostle, prophet, pastor, you know, evangelist, all these things, teachers. He was everything and more. I look at how Jesus would be addressing a crowd. Next thing, he's speaking to the woman at the well, one-on-one. How Jesus would be preaching at the streets and teaching at a synagogue. And the next thing, he's feasting with people in their homes. Been pondering on how he's the lion and the lamb, and that we need to look at the whole Christ. We can't just look at his life and his teachings, but we need to look at his death and also his resurrection. We need the whole Christ. And when we talk about the whole Christ, we're talking about all of him in his entirety. He's complete. He was perfect. And when I read the Bible and I notice all these things, how he hung out with the tax collectors, then with the prostitutes, and then he's saying, let the children come to me. I'm like, you are so multidimensional, Jesus. We need the whole Christ. Then I'm looking at the Bible, and there's 66 books that have been written by almost 40 authors. And I'm thinking all of these books are being coordinated by the life and the breath of the Holy Spirit to point towards the whole Christ. And that's why I believe that in the same way, today the body of Christ, in its different functions, needs to be coordinated to form a picture of the whole Christ. We can't do it alone. Your church, my church, just me, just you. It's all of us together. Coordinated by the Holy Spirit to bring the word to life and show people who the Christ is. Together, we're meant to capture and reveal all the dimensions of Jesus as his body. So we need to be at a place where we recognize and we appreciate and we affirm and we make room for all parts of the body, so that these parts cannot just function but flourish. I specifically felt the Lord say, Seeko, we need a revelation of the whole Christ through the whole body to the whole world. I said the word brings light. I'm going to read some scripture today. I believe God's going to do something only he can do. as I just read some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or Tosas or Indians or whatever, slave or free, we all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would we be hearing? If the whole body were, how's my reading here? But if the whole body was a nose, where would we be smelling? But how God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And I felt to even stop here. I want to say, the body has need of you. The body has need of you. And your world, sometimes we think about the world and it feels like this big, impossible place. So I want to say, your world has need of you. In Ephesians 4, it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The kingdom of God, the church, and your world is in need of you. We need the whole Christ to be revealed through the whole body to the whole world. The anointing is for everybody. You have Christ, the anointed one, living inside of you. The anointing is for you. In the Bible, we just see how God uses different people with different graces. We see, for example, Joseph, who ends up being a leader and an economist, basically. We see how Mary, for example, or Ruth, or Naomi, are located in the family realm. Their area of responsibility, their marriages become their area of ministry. We see, for example, how Anna the prophetess, how her assignment was at the altar. She never left the temple. Jesus even came to her. Hallelujah. How Esther and David's assignment was in the palace. There's a place for you. We even see in the book of Exodus, chapter 31, this used to be my favorite verse. I always have a favorite verse, you know, after a while. But I remember reading this verse about how the Spirit of God came and anointed people with an anointing for craftsmanship and designing things. And I said, God, you're bigger! You're bigger! And I remember just preaching about how God in the workplace, because I had a revelation. Yes, I think there are generic, I would say generic courses, if I can put it like that. Every believer should be attending the school of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Every believer should be attending the school of the word. Hallelujah. Every believer should be attending the school of the spirit. Every believer should be doing these things. Then they're also like generic outputs, I would say. The word speaks about how we should all be preaching the gospel, casting out devils, healing the sick, prophesying. Mama, are you prophesying over your kids? Businessmen, are you prophesying over your business, prophesying over your staff, prophesying over things of the economy? Discipling people in your workplace. There's not a single part that's meant to be irrelevant. There's not a single part that's meant to be undermined or less important. The anointing is just as necessary for the lawyer as it is for the pastor. The anointing is for you and me. Been obsessed with this song that goes, all is for your glory. And I just always think about that part that says, so put me in. Just put your glory in me, and I'll serve in you. I just have to see you. Put me in. Just place your glory in me, and I'll serve in you. I just long. This song is prophesying. We are living in the Joel 2 dispensation, where the Spirit of God has been poured upon all flesh, on all people, the sons and the daughters are and should be prophesying. The old men should be dreaming dreams and are dreaming dreams. The young men should be and are seeing visions. The Spirit of the Lord has been poured upon all flesh. Not just pastors, not just prophets or evangelists. And I believe with all my heart that we're coming into a season where the Spirit of the Lord must be evident on the wife. The Spirit of the Lord must be evident on the mom. The Spirit of the Lord must be evident on the businessman. The Spirit of the Lord must be evident on the doctor, no matter your profession. We need Spirit-filled businessmen. We need spiritual politicians, God. We need spirit-filled old people, young people. And I felt specifically to say, to shofar table view. The anointing will find you in the place of your assignment. The anointing will locate you where you are being faithful and obedient in the area of your call. And practicing the basics. When the pastors pray, the businessman is praying, Shandai, Shandai. Come on. When the prophets are fasting, the doctor is fasting. Hallelujah. Because all those things are for us. I know we've got different geographical areas where we're called to witness. But before a doctor is a doctor, he or she is a witness. Before you are a lawyer first, you are a witness first. Before you are a bus driver, you are a witness of the living God. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. To be my witnesses in your workplace, in your family, in your business, in your university, to your children, to your unsaved husband or unsaved spouse, whatever the case is. You are called to be a witness first before you're anything else. Loving God, testifying of Him. I'm drawing to a close. And as we close, can I maybe just ask someone or the keys or whichever guitar key? I want to end off with this. I want to end off with this 2 seconds. Okay. I'm going to also ask my husband to just come here quickly. He's very surprised. But I was pondering about this and I thought, let me not warn. Just in case. Anything comes to hinder. As I say, I believe we're entering into a season where the Holy Spirit desires to supernaturally empower all believers in every area of life to be witnesses for Him. We're entering a season where when the kingdom has come upon you, there will be an effect. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or psychologist, when the kingdom has truly come upon you, there will be evidence. God is not limited by our careers. He's not confined to our careers. If your yes is yes and it's sincere and you are obedient, He will use you. He desires to use you. He is pleased with you. He's content and He says it's good how He's made you. Sons and daughters, arise. Teachers, arise. Doctors, arise. Pastors, more of us, arise. Bus drivers, arise. It's all our time to arise because we're all a part of His story. And as we end off, I'm going to ask my husband just before he prays, in 5 minutes, he does this brilliantly to give us a run through the Holy Spirit and His journey with us, how we ended up on this Joel 2 moment. I pray that God will help you to understand where we are in this time and what He's doing. And then, Leafy, I want you to please pray for us after you share. Take us back however you do it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Wow, that was unexpected. Thank you, thank you. But since we don't have time, I was speaking this morning at Shofar Boston about the gratitude I have towards the Spirit. When I hear the word Holy Spirit, wells of gratitude swell from my spirit. Because I realize that this moment is a special moment. That Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Isaiah, all the great prophets, they so wished and so looked forward to a day the Holy Spirit was on everyone. I'm like, but I am living in it today. These guys, they could see it from afar, but they couldn't lay hold of it. Centuries and centuries, they say, God, when is it going to happen? We see that this is what you're going to do. But I realize I'm living right in that moment. I'm living right in the moment where from Genesis 1, verse 1, when verse 3, when the Holy Spirit hovered upon the face, upon the waters, that the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. And as you go through the Old Testament, we move to Exodus. The Holy Spirit, Moses sees a burning bush, and he turns around. And then one day Moses prays, and 70 elders, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And then two others start prophesying, and people start to say, but these ones shouldn't prophesy. And Moses, with great frustration, he says, oh, how I wish that all of God's people were prophets, and that the Spirit of God was upon them. I could see his frustration as a prophet that he's the only one who has the Holy Spirit. And he says, oh, how I wish that all of God's people would have the Holy Spirit upon them and that they were would prophesy. And there was this desire right from Genesis. We get to Numbers. We get to Isaiah. He begins to speak about the spirit of wisdom and counsel. And Ezekiel begins to speak about a day when the Lord will take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh and spirit. And Jeremiah begins to speak about a day coming. All the great men and women of God, they looked forward to this moment. And here we are. And Joel, one day, he says, coming is a day. Looking into the future, coming is a day when the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And oh my God. Jesus, even Himself, full of the Holy Spirit, He walks on earth. And He was the only one walking on earth and doing stuff. But in John 14, He says, coming is a day that I'm about to go to my Father. But this is good for you. This is the moment the whole world has been waiting for. Because when I go to my Father, the Spirit will come. And the moment that the prophets and everyone has been looking for, I can see it is just close by. And when I go, that moment, that era, that dimension will just unfold. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter is standing right on that moment. And he says, this is which the prophet Joel spoke about. He says, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And today, this is our era. This is where we are. We are standing right on the moment. And I'm like, if Jeremiah, if Abraham, if Ezekiel knew that we could have this moment, they will be so jealous of us. And I'm like, God, I'm so grateful to you this morning that I could stand in that place. Let's stand on our feet. I just want you to talk to God. Just be grateful for the Holy Spirit. Don't ask anything. Don't request. Just to be grateful for the fact that you are in this era where you can have God. Lord, I can have God in my heart. I can have God in my spirit. I can have the maker of heavens and the earth come and live with me. What a great privilege that none other could have, Lord. We are so grateful this evening, Lord, that we have you. We can walk with you. We can hear you. What a privilege, Lord. What a privilege to have the Holy Spirit living in us, the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Just as Moses says that the Holy Spirit may be upon all people and all flesh. And today we can lift up our hands, God, and say what a gratitude, and say what a day, and say what an era, and say we are grateful to you. We are grateful that we can speak to you in the morning, we can speak to you in the evening, that we don't need a high priest to go into a place and bring sacrifice, but that we can just walk up in the morning and speak to you, oh God. That we can walk up into our office and speak to you, that we can walk up into a bus, Lord, and continue our conversation with you without hindrance, without fear. We thank you. We are so grateful for the Holy Spirit. We love you. May the canopy of your presence and may the fire of the Holy Ghost continue to engulf us, Lord, in our houses, in our homes. May we be agents of the Holy Spirit. May we be agents of bringing in this new era to the world. Because, Lord, you have given us the privilege. You have made us the first fruits. But thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We give you all the glory.
Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us into the fullness of who you are, so that we can be the fullness that we are called to be, into the fullness of your will that you've given unto us. What great grace, Lord. What great grace. Thank you, Lord, that we can just simply respond in our hearts by saying, yes, please have your way. Lord, and as a representative of the elders of this church, I say to this little part of the bigger body, yes, please have your way. Yes, please have your way. The fullness of Christ to the fullness of this body, to the fullness of your whole world. Lord, may we be witnesses. Holy Spirit, help us to be witnesses. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts could be stirred. The flame could be fanned in our hearts afresh. As we just simply say, yes, Lord. Fall afresh upon us. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that your church is special to you. No church is more special than the other. But still today we stand upon the grace given to this group of people. And Lord, with that first service that Lucille prayed was around Zechariah saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that that is the inheritance of this church. That it's not because of man. It's not about our things. And it's not about being orange or having everything right. But it is about exactly what we heard tonight. The fullness of the Spirit of Christ in us and through us. Make us effective in living this out. We are reminded of your promise to this church. And we remind you about that promise over this church. And we say, thank you, Father, that you will have your way. If you simply want to say yes to that call for us as a church, for you individually and for your family, just raise your hand. Just as an act of faith and obedience, just saying yes. You don't have to if you don't want to. But just to know that Joel saw this coming. Abram would have loved to be here as we heard. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. 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 In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's plead the blood of Christ over us and our children as we go. And we thank you for this. Amen. Amen.